Today, on The Journey.
The word we're going to think about today that we see a lot in the Proverbs is a Hebrew word called tom. It's T-O-M as we transliterate it, and it means this: completeness, fullness, according to the full measure.
Whether you lead a nation, a company, or a family, how you measure up depends on your integrity. So on today's program, Ron Moore offers a measuring rod from the wisdom of Solomon. Heed its instruction and become the leader God wants you to be. Before that, we want you to know about Ron's study notes on the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the best parenting book ever written. And this interactive study booklet will guide you through its key verses, helping you raise responsible, godly children. It's yours for a gift of any amount. Remember, your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Living as a Leader on The Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. It's an easy book to find. You just open your Bible to the middle. You're in the book of Psalms. You turn one book to the right and you are in the book of Proverbs. This inspired instruction manual for parents, for mentors, for those in every stage of life. As we wrap up the study today of Proverbs, we're going to look at one word that I think sums up Solomon's instruction. We're going to focus on that word during our time today. Now, as we've said, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, but he wasn't the only wise man who ever lived. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 31 has a list of wise men during that time. And as we look through history, whether it's the Ethiopians, whether it's the Babylonians, the Egyptians, they all had their wise men. And in our country, we've had our wise men as well. Benjamin Franklin, anyone ever heard of him? He had a few wise sayings, didn't he? A penny saved is what? Penny earned, you know it. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man. God helps them that. By the way, that's not in the Bible. That was Benjamin Franklin that said that. He who lies down with dogs shall rise up with fleas. Exactly. And here's my favorite. Three may keep a secret if two of them are dead. Many wise men in history. Solomon, the wisest of them all. And Proverbs carries this distinctive. While many wise men were humanistic, they were focusing on themselves or people around them, Solomon always focused on God. He says in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we love the word beginning because it means capstone. That's what holds it together. The fear of the Lord, the awe and respect of God in every area of our life, that holds wisdom together. We've looked at the fact that the Proverbs always starts with God. And in the book of Proverbs, God is always the word Lord with all caps. And when you see in your English Bible the word Lord in all caps, it's a translation of the Hebrew word Yahweh. And when you see the word Lord in all caps, that translation of the word Yahweh, think personal relationship. The God of personal relationship. In the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis, it was Elohim who created the heavens and the earth. This Elohim who spoke the world into existence. Elohim is the powerful creator. But then in chapter 2, verse 7, Yahweh Elohim stooped down and he breathed into man the breath of life. Now, I don't know how that happened. But in my mind, I see this body that God had created, and God gets on his knees, and he, in essence, gives Adam mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He breathes into man. That's Yahweh, who has a personal, intimate relationship with his creation. And it's Yahweh that Solomon is talking about in the book of Proverbs. There are two people in the book of Proverbs. This person over here is called the wicked. They are wicked because they reject God. They are their own God. They do their own thing when they want to do it on their own timing. They are their own God, little g, and Proverbs calls them a fool. There's another person over here we see throughout the Proverbs. This person is righteous They are righteous because they fear God. They have an awe and respect for God. And Proverbs always calls this person wise. Now, throughout the book of Proverbs, in fact, throughout all of Scripture, there's one word we've got to nail down. We have to understand it if we're going to understand who we are in Christ and how we're to live this Christian life. And it's the word righteousness. We see it all the time in Scripture. And there are two parts to righteousness. There's the position of righteousness, and there's the practice of righteousness. So let's think about those two things. First of all, the position. So when we come to the point where we cannot save ourselves, we realize that there's nothing we can do to have a relationship with God. It's all God, none of us. And we trust in Jesus Christ as the only one, not one of many ways or a good way, but the only way to have a relationship with the living God. When we get to that point and we trust in Jesus, God makes us righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. We are made righteous by God. We cannot do that on our own. No way we can make ourselves righteous. Only God does that. And that's our position. We are made righteous. That's positional. That will never change. When we trust in Christ sincerely, when God brings us to himself, when he makes us righteous, we will always be righteous. He will always look on us and say, you are my son, you are my daughter. That will never change. Aren't you glad of that? We have assurance of that. Now, there's the position, but there's also the practice. And the practice is the daily obedience. So there's a position vertically. Practice kind of works out horizontally, doesn't it? It's the messy part. It's the challenging part. It's the relationship part. It's how we act as a student. It's how we act as a businessman or woman. It's how we act as a parent or a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a husband or a wife. It's Christianity in real life. You don't live the Christian life in some ivory tower surrounded by theology books. It's rubber meets the road stuff. And that's what Solomon is focusing on. He's not focusing on the position of righteousness. He's focusing on the practice of righteousness. And that's why he's talked to us about pride and humility. Those are things we got to deal with. He's talked to us about resources, how we use our money. He's talked to us about what a true friend really is. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. He's talked to us about sexuality, purity in our day. We got to talk about that. He's talked with us about anger, emotions, words, and work. We saw last time we should be the best employee around, and we should be the best employer around. Now, today, one word that sums all that up. It's translated with a lot of different Hebrew words. Some of the words mean firmness. Some of the words mean just. Some of the words mean righteous. Some of the words mean upright. Some of the words mean evenness. But the word we're going to think about today that we see a lot in the Proverbs is a Hebrew word called tom. It's T-O-M as we transliterate it. And it means this, completeness, fullness, according to the full measure. So when you think of the word integrity, and by the way, you're going to see it all the time if you're a businessman and you read leadership books, always talking about this word, integrity. And it means wholeness. If you look at someone's life, it's not in bits and pieces. It's not in parts. There is a completeness to it. There's a wholeness to it. When I try to figure out what a word means, I like to find a word that is the opposite. And if we look at a word that is not integrity, it's the word duplicity. Duplicity means this: speaking or acting in two different ways to different people concerning the same matter. The state or quality of having two elements or parts being twofold or double. Jesus had a word for this in the New Testament, didn't he? He called it a hypocrite. Two lives. You say one thing to one person on the same subject, you say something different to another person. Duplicity. So let me give you an example. Several years ago, there was a guy who ran for national office. Let's call him Mark because that's what his name was. So we'll call him Mark. Runs for national office, and from the very beginning of his platform, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I teach Sunday school at my church. I'm in a Bible study in Washington. And he ran on a platform of pro-life, and he ran on a platform of traditional marriage. And then, right during his campaign, in the middle of it, it was discovered he had been in a long-time affair with a woman from another country. And the national media had a heyday as you can imagine. Here's what one columnist wrote. Mark is the self-righteous Bible thumper. Marco, his other side, was the unself-conscious womanizer, canoodling with his lover, throwing caution to the e-winds about their soulmate feel her tan lines and curves. Mark is a conservative railing against sinners. Marco sins liberally. Mark opposes gay marriage as a threat to traditional marriage. Marco thinks nothing of risking his own traditional marriage and celebrates transgressive relationships. Mark was an example of duplicity, a life of contradicting parts. And Proverbs is clear that if we live our life in contradicting parts, we don't do well as a believer and we don't end well as a believer. Proverbs 11:3, the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Now, it may take a while. You may be getting by with it right now. And every day you get by with it, you think, it's not a big deal because, you know, there are no consequences right now. I'm working my way through this thing. But sooner or later, the double life will catch up with you. Proverbs 20:17, bread gained by deceit, it's sweet. Sin spun for a season, but afterwards it's a mouthful of gravel. It always catches up with you. Proverbs 10:9, the last part of it says, he who makes his way crooked, perverted, duplicity, double life, sooner or later you're going to be found out. Not now, maybe, but later. 21:6 says this, the getting of treasures. So you got the treasures. You got what you wanted by a lying tongue, by that life of duplicity. Again, you got it, but it's a fleeting vapor. And it is a snare of death, the death of your reputation, the death maybe of your business, the death of your family, the death of your position or leadership role. Sooner or later, the double life will catch up with you. So that's duplicity. Let's talk about integrity. Here's where it starts. Integrity. Again, this one word that sums everything up. Integrity begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:2, whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord. Again, not a servile fear, not a fear of one in a prison waiting for the executioner to come down the hall and take them to death. Not that type of fear. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a filial fear, a familial fear, a family fear that you have for a parent, a mom or dad, and awe and respect for them as your mom and dad. You want to please them. You want to do what they're asking you to do because of this awe and respect you have for them. And that's what we should have for God, this awe and respect for God. And that's where integrity begins. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. Again, integrity is wholeness. It's completeness. Let's go back and just do a little review. Remember, wisdom starts with fear of the Lord. Knowledge starts with fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is awe and reverence for our loving Father demonstrated in a life of wisdom. And we said that wisdom is embracing the truths of God's word and learning the skills of biblical truth in everyday life. Remember, wisdom is that the Hebrew word chokmah, and it was first used of the people who wove Aaron's robe together. They had skills in doing that. And then it was used for those who built the temple. They had skills working with wood and the carvings and all that. And then Solomon takes that word and says, wisdom is having skills for godly living, living out biblical truth in everyday life. That starts with the fear of God. Secondly, integrity provides protection. Proverbs 28:18, whoever walks in integrity. And again, this word walk is a figure of speech for living your life. You're walking in integrity. You're walking in completeness. You're walking in wholeness. That person's going to be delivered. But he who is crooked in his ways suddenly falls. When you live a double life, you always have to worry about getting caught, don't you? When you live a life of lies, you have to think, what did I tell that person? And how do I keep that going? But when you live a life of truth, it's just the truth. You can share the truth. You don't have to worry about that. Proverbs 2:7, God is a shield to those who walk in integrity. He protects us. He watches over us. Number three, integrity provides the life roadmap. Proverbs 11:3 says this, the integrity of the upright guides them. Just like a GPS in your car. You put it in your phone, here's where I'm headed, and it guides you, and it tells you where to go, and it tells you if there's an accident miles ahead of you, and maybe even take another route so you can get around that accident. It's the integrity of the upright that guides them because they're walking with the Lord. They're in the Word on a daily basis. They're in God's Word as nourishment, and it's God's Word that's washing over them and guiding them. But the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Proverbs 16:17, the highway of the upright turns aside from evil, and whoever guards his way preserves his life. And then one more. Integrity leaves a legacy. Proverbs 27, the righteous who walks in his integrity, in wholeness, in completeness. Blessed are his children after him, exclamation mark. The righteous person, the one who has a position and the practice of righteousness, they walk in integrity. They walk in wholeness, not in bits and pieces, not saying one thing here and then another thing here. There's a wholeness about it. They believe in something and they're willing to stand for it. A wholeness, that person leaves a legacy. How blessed are their children after them. Don't you want to wrap this life up and have people say about you, look, they weren't perfect by any stretch, but there was a consistency. There was a wholeness in what they said, what they did, how they acted, up front or backstage. A person of integrity. How blessed are their children after them. Okay, here's what we want to do to wrap up this series in the Proverbs. We want to go through and think about this life of wholeness, what we've been talking about in Proverbs. So a quick review. Again, this one word that sums everything up, integrity. Integrity is this word that means wholeness. It's putting everything together. Fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the capstone. It's what holds it all together. That's where we have to start. Wisdom. A verse you can use there is Proverbs 24:3-4. By wisdom, a house is built. Embracing the truths of God's word, learning the skills of living it out in everyday life. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. And then humility. 16:18, pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. And then resources. How are you doing with your resources? We looked at Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce, and then he's going to bless you. He's going to give you everything you need. Your barns are going to be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. That's not prosperity theology. God's just going to give you everything you need. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Again, we're talking about wholeness here. So there are a lot of Christians, I think the average giving is like 2.9% of their income, who love singing the songs, just don't like writing the checks. And remember where Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Wholeness, integrity, got to be put together. Relationships is the next one. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We have to be walking with those who are walking with God. Young people, remember, you don't date those who aren't walking with God. You need to be dating a believer. But let me tell you this, not every believer at that time is walking with God. So not just a believer, but someone who truly loves the Lord, who fears the Lord, and demonstrating that in their lives. We talked about purity. Proverbs 5:18-19. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated. There's a place in Scripture you can get drunk. Right there. Be intoxicated always in her love. Isn't that cool? Be intoxicated with your love for your spouse. Purity. Emotions. There we looked at anger. Proverbs 17:27, he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And then we looked at words. Proverbs 10:9, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs 25:11, I love this one. A word fitly spoken, a word spoken just the right time, in the right tone, in the right way. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. It is priceless. And then we talked about work last time. 6:6-8. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. She doesn't have to have a boss. She doesn't have to have someone always telling her what to do. In the New Testament, Paul says, don't be an eye pleaser or a people pleaser. Don't just work when someone's watching you, because we work unto God and he's always watching us. Whether we're a student, whether we're employed someplace, all of our work is to God. So we're not doing it for an instructor or a boss. We're doing it because God has given us this great gift of work and a way to provide or train for the future or provide for our families. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prayerfully determine, as we've been going through this series on Proverbs, where has God spoken to you? Maybe it was areas of anger. Maybe it was areas of purity. Let me just talk to men a second. You can't claim I'm a man of integrity and be involved in pornography. Maybe it was an area of relationships. I don't know where God's been speaking to you. I can tell you that as I study for sermons, I'm spoken to all week, but man, Proverbs has been convicting. And so whatever God's dealing with you, that's just saying, okay, God, I'm serious about this. And I'm submitting it to you. And I'm asking you to give me the strength I need to wage war in this area of my life.
And please stay with us. Ron will be back with a preview of our next broadcast right after this. Parenting in the modern world is challenging and sometimes exhausting, but there's real help to be found in an ancient book. The Proverbs contain wisdom deeply rooted in an understanding of God and people. But the book is not theoretical. It's a practical instruction manual for parenting in the real world. To help apply its wisdom to your life and family, Ron has prepared an easy and interactive study guide. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. In it, you'll discover what it means to fear God, the blessings of humility, the importance of friendship, and how to live with purity in a sex-crazed world. The Proverbs Study Guide is yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
The purpose is very straightforward: to address the issue of self-focus from Scripture. The purpose of this sermon is to get over ourselves in order to live beyond ourselves.
We hope you'll join us for that message next time. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's interactive study guide on the book of Proverbs. It's titled Proverbs, Everyday Wisdom, Everyday Life. This booklet is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. And by the way, we'd like to invite Pittsburgh area listeners to visit our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our area campuses and their ministries. They're located in Robinson, Ross Draver, South Hills, Washington, and Wilkinsburg. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, please tell your friends and family about our program. Also, keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.